Welcome to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. In fact, calling this a talk show makes me sick to my stomach because it's got nothing in common with what you would probably think of as a talk show. And, you know, you may agree. And in point of fact, you may not even like what we do, although you're still listening. So what's that about? Anyway.
Yeah, that's how I tell people, too.
Fine, bud, fine. Let's not get too deep into that. We are online at philhenryshow.com. That's the online home, the worldwide headquarters of the Phil Henry Show. That's philhenryshow.com. We have podcasts that we drop three times a week. We've got our daily podcast and all of our archives for our subscribers. We have our daily video cast and our video archive for our subscribers. We have our news feed for our subscribers. We have our comment section for our subscribers. We have our video archives. We have miscellaneous media for our subscribers. So if you want a taste of our show for free, and that is the archives, I should say, you can go to philhenryradio.com, and that's also where you find our podcast. All right. Now, we were talking here. And by the way, the music that those of you who are listening to our Phil TV feed, the music we play is, it's, I guess they used to use the word eclectic, you know. I mean, I remember back in 1980, I was hanging out with friends of mine, and we would put together music, like mixtapes back then, where we went from the B-52s into Frank Sinatra. So this whole Jack FM thing, you can take that, Jack. Hit the road, Jack. Which, by the way, congratulations to Jack FM here in Los Angeles, which went off the air. Boy, that was a really good run you guys had. If you had really half the imagination you claim to have, you'd still be on the air.
Yeah, well, Deb Day had Kiki D.
Yeah, look, going from, it's not that eclectic, man, going from, Black Sabbath into Kiki D, whatever. All right. The Olympics are happening? They're happening and they're happening, man. If they ain't happening, they're happening Sunday. The London Games will be ending on Sunday. It looks like the United States, after initial scare, that we might fall prey to the communist nation of China. It hasn't happened. We have more medals. We rule. We're godlike. Even in a country of 1 billion people, or however many they have now, 1.5 billion, maybe they're approaching 2 billion, even in a country with that many people, going up against our little United States of America, we kick their ass when it came to the Olympics. Now, what's that about?
Yeah, but they're communists. They almost beat us.
I don't care. Proof positive that American exceptionalism... I actually do believe in all this stuff. It sounds like I'm full of it, but I do believe in that. I honest to God do. I believe it's an exceptional country. I don't think the people sometimes in this country are all that exceptional, but, you know, it changes from time to time. Now, what we were spending a good part of the program talking about was Governor Romney and his running mate, Paul Ryan. And that's fine, and I'm sure that it's going to quote-unquote energize the base or whatever it is that they call it, but unless something big happens for Romney, I don't know what it can be. And I'm not even saying that what he said in Europe about the security set up in London not being all that great or any misstep that he might have had in Europe. I'm not saying any of that stuff is necessarily what killed him. What killed the Romney campaign, and believe me when I tell you, it's dead.
Yeah, remember what you said, though, about Giuliani and everything.
I made that prediction about Giuliani being the Republican nominee a full year ahead of the convention. This is just months away from the general election. And I'm telling you, and it doesn't take a brain. I'm not making any big claim here. That campaign that Romney ran and the entire approach taken by the Republican Party and the conservatives, whatever the hell they call themselves, man, you couldn't have stunk it up more. Are you kidding me? How do you take a country that you claim is dissatisfied with Obama, and you claim is there's a groundswell against Obama, and you claim this, and you guys can't put a candidate up against Obama, this guy's not going to get arrested. I don't know how much he's going to lose by, but he's going to lose. I'll tell you what the problem is. People don't dislike Obama near as much as you think they should or do. That's number one. Number two is, whatever little revolution was going on in your heads about how bad Obama was doing and about how this and that and something else, whatever you think was happening, man, it wasn't happening. And number three, and finally, the whole birther thing and, is he born in Kenya and is he a Muslim? you couldn't have asked for a worse approach to Obama than that stupid, silly garbage. Because what happens is this. The mainstream voter is not that dumb. I understand that maybe you think he is, but he's not. The mainstream voter wasn't buying into Obama is from Kenya, and they weren't buying into he's a Muslim. But because these fringe elements, like the right-wingers and the progressives, the same thing with the far left, because they live on the edge and they don't really have much current, you know, they don't do much business with normal human beings because they're always sitting around talking to each other. They don't know what normal people think. They don't know how normal people live. And they think, hey, you know, I got a great idea. What's that? Let's talk about him being a birther and all that. Let's talk about him not being born in America. And boy, that'll really... You know what it did? It sunk your ass. That's what it did. It sunk Romney. That and his other kooky ideas about women's rights, which that's a lot more dangerous. But you might have snuck through, even with the attitude that when it comes to Romney, he doesn't really have any opinions on abortion or any other issue relative to women. He likes to just sit back in, sit back in the high grass and wait and see what comes along. He's just waiting to see what's for dinner. He doesn't want to make any commitments. Well, that wasn't any good. That wasn't any good. That didn't help. The gay marriage thing, Obama came out, and you know, a lot of people might have thought Obama was committing some sort of political suicide when he said that gay people ought to be allowed to be married. But I got news for you. That's the way a lot of Americans are thinking these days, more and more and more and more. So when you sit back on your ass and you don't take a stand, or you take a rather vague stand on these things, no longer is that a savvy political move. No longer is that considered to be, you know, smart. Let the other guy, give him enough rope, boom, boom, all that bull crap. No, no, that doesn't work anymore. This is 2012. That means that we are 4 years past 2008, and we're 12 years past 2000. I remember when it would have been a disaster for a guy to come out and say that gay people ought to be allowed to be married. The President of the United States said that. Obama's going to get reelected.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't care, bud, what you think. He's going to get reelected. I'm going to vote for him.
Why, man? You said you'd vote for Romney.
I thought that maybe the country needed the kind of economic conservatism that was being advocated. But the rest of the Romney package is so rotten. Stinks so much. I couldn't bring myself to vote for that guy. Okay? He's another one. He's an old school Republican when it comes to a lot of that stuff. And I put a lot of stock in human rights, and that's just all there is to that. I'll go ahead and roll the dice and take my chances with 4 more years of President Obama and whatever cockamamie economic policies he wants to put forward. Frankly, I believe in national health care. I do. I support that. The rest of the kind of liberal approach to money, I don't, but I do support the social agenda, and that's important to me, so that's where it's going to be, all right?
Yeah, but everybody's saying the country's going broke and everything.
The country's been going broke since I was born. The greatest president of the last 40 or 50 years, so we are led to believe, is Ronald Reagan, and he did nothing but deficit spend. Nothing but deficit spend. I remember when he was running for president and that guy, John Anderson, was a third party candidate. He was running against Mondale or whoever the hell. No, it was Carter and it was Reagan. And Anderson said in one of these TV debates, he said, "Who are you guys kidding? How are you going to pay for all of the stuff that you say you want to pay for?" Well, guess what? They went into hock. So, you know, I don't know what this guy's got to do between now and November, but he better come up with something big. I don't know what it is. He's going to have to put his head on straight, and he's going to have to start taking some stands on a few things. I don't know. You know, I think it's too late, personally.
What about that guy, Ryan?
Who cares, man? But you talk about the biggest zero announcement Hey, Paul Ryan. Well, that's great. I'm sure he's great, and everybody likes him, and I, you know, fine. I saw him. I saw Ryan during some of those debates on the economy. You know, he's a very engaging guy. I'm sure his credentials are just solid when it comes to conservative beliefs. That's what they sweat over there in the Republican Party. They sweat whether the guy's credentials are really, you know, this or that. Look, if the cat's a Republican, I'm going to assume that he has a certain approach to life, the economy, social issues, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. I'm going to just go ahead and I'll give you that, okay? So the fact that over there on the Republican side of things, they sweat out whether a guy's, you know, well, is he going to be acceptable to the conservative base? You guys worrying about that has gotten you beat. It'll get you beat two elections in a row, sweating out the conservative base or the conservative this or that and what they think. No one cares, man, except them. No one cares. Over there in the Democratic Party, they go, you got liberals and you got Democrats. And sometimes they're the same thing, but sometimes they're not. That's what they ought to be worrying about over there with the Republicans. Who gives a damn, man? Occasionally you're going to have the one and the same conservative and a Republican, and sometimes you're not. And this conservative thing hasn't gotten you guys to first base, man. It hadn't helped you at all. If anything, it's gotten you sunk. It's got you sunk this year. You're going to lose this election because of that dumbass Trump and that birther thing and that whole bullcrap with Muslimness. It makes you look stupid, okay? Do you understand? Do you understand it makes you look stupid? Man, I tell you, we're going to get some email people on this. I don't care. Care if we get email. Every time I hear somebody say Obama's a Muslim, they may be kidding. They could be kidding. But people think they're serious. And when people think you're serious, then they think you're an idiot. And they don't want to have nothing to do with you. They're going to go ahead and they'll vote for Obama. Why the hell am I going to vote for some guy who thinks Obama is a Muslim? Well, I mean, Romney doesn't think that. Doesn't make any difference, man. Those people support him. I want nothing to do with them.
I think a lot of people are kidding that he's a Muslim.
They may well be kidding, but here's the problem. Nobody knows it. No one gets it. No one gets the joke. As a result, people think they're crazy. And the same thing with that birth certificate thing. I told you that. Some dumbass, and I was talking to some guy on my in the comments section on our website, and he said, yeah, I knew, you know, you were so stupid, you thought that Trump was going to be, was serious about his run for president. That wasn't the point, man. That wasn't the point. The point was this. When Trump started talking about the economy, I said, hey, oh, you know what, we got to take a break.
Is that what Trump said?
No, we have to take a break. When he started talking about the economy, then we'll take a break. I said, okay, but guess what, man? The cat's making some good points, but as soon as he started in on that birther thing, forget it. I don't care whether he was serious or not. If he was serious, he still wasn't going to be elected president. All right, we're coming back on a world-famous Phil Embry show. More on the... I think we've probably talked enough about the Olympics, like, not at all. And well, we got some other news here to get to, folks, including the story here on Google and Samsung and this lawsuit having to do with their software. The world-famous Phil Embry show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Embry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Embry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Embry Show. And as we do most nights, we forgot to do it last night, we go to our front page. We have 100 years of the New York Times front pages. This is August the 11th, and I had Dan pick a year out. What, bud?
I don't think it was a good year.
I thought it was a great year. 1964 he picked out. Is that the year you were born, Dan? Probably. All right, so that's your birth year. All right, so we're going to look at August the 11th of 1964. Now, the only problem I'm having is August 11th, for whatever reason, is not popping up. I'll have to scroll through it. But if you are looking at home on your Phil TV in HD, here is August 10. And Turkish jets hit Cyprus anew. UN and Johnson ask a truce. Soviet bids some kind of raids. There was something going on between Turkey and Cyprus, I guess. Greek Cypriots put casualties at 300, warn of reprisals. Turkish aircraft struck against Greek Cypriotic positions today. The president of Cyprus warned Turkey that unless the raids ended, Greek Cypriots would launch full-scale indiscriminate assaults against Turkish Cypriotic villages. So there was an ethnic problem going on there. on Cyprus. Turkey is hostile to the Turkish bids. So Turkey and Greece had a beef? Man, why did I not know that?
What's that about?
I don't know.
But it's pretty funny, Turkey and Greece.
Yeah, that's real funny, man. God.
Well.
All right, here's the 11th. This is the year that Dan wanted me to look at. This is August the 11th, 1964. Kennedy and Wagner address Bar Association. Whatever. That was Robert Kennedy. Cyprus and Turkey agree to UN ceasefire. So it was Cyprus and Turkey. Pope proclaims readiness to aid keeping peace. So that was the big story, huh? How come I don't know nothing about that?
I don't know.
Turkey and Cyprus. McKeon to urge Kennedy to make race for... So Kennedy was going to run for... And this was 1964. So keep in mind, just months before, his brother had been assassinated. So now he's wondering, am I going to leave the cabinet? He was the attorney general. And should I not instead become a senator of the United States Senate? Now, here's a headline here that I think is interesting. This is from the 11th of August, 1964. It says here, whites here plan a school boycott. 250,000 may be held out on opening day in protest of integration policies. The Parents and Taxpayers Coordinating Council met last night to draft plans for a massive white boycott of public schools here on opening day, September the 14th. When they say here, they mean New York City. The meeting held at a bowling alley in Brooklyn ended shortly before 1 a.m., but officials declined to confirm that a boycott had been voted for. Mrs. Rosemary Gunning, the executive secretary of the council, said a news conference would be held at 11 a.m. Frederick Royce, Queens PAT leader, declared in a statement released to the press while the meeting was in progress that this development is necessary is a very sad commentary on the state of affairs of our city. Mayor Wagner and his political cronies, by refusing to listen to the voice of the people or to consult with representatives of the majority of the people, have made it necessary for the PAT to take this step. The proposed boycott would protest the Board of Education's integration plan scheduled to take effect on opening day. PAT charges that this plan, which calls for the pairing of four predominantly Negro schools with four predominantly white schools, will force the transfer of 25,000 children from their neighborhoods. So what this is, folks, and it's kind of interesting, it was 1964, was it 48 years ago, on this day, were the beginning stages in New York City of what was called busing. And busing was it was ill-conceived in a lot of ways, because what it did is it took kids away from their schools and put them in other schools. It brought it. I'm not saying, you know, that integration of schools was not necessary, and of course we have that today, but this was the integration of schools by way of taking children far away from homes and introducing children not from those neighborhoods, and it caused all of this freak out by people having to do with the how far away their kids are going to be, plus all these strange kids, i.e. black kids and white kids, into these schools. But it was a court-ordered thing, because they said that the separate but equal was obviously unconstitutional, and these schools in the inner cities were just garbage cans, and the really good schools outside of those cities, which were predominantly white, were really good schools. And so black kids were not getting an equal opportunity at education, and so therefore something had to be done, and so the courts came in and made this big ruling, and bang, here comes this busing thing, and man.
Yeah, but that what else are you going to do?
I mean, you're right. What else were you going to do? You can't say, well, you know, you should have an equal opportunity. Public education should be equal for every kid. Okay, but you're going to need to wait a while we build better schools for you. Because, well, now hold the phone, man. What do you mean I got to wait a while? Well, we just, you know, we don't have the schools yet for you. And, well, here's a better idea. Why don't we get to go to those schools? Those are really good schools. Well, yeah, sure they are. But, I mean, they're filled up with white kids. We want our... So you can see the argument and how it developed. And I don't know what the solution could have been. What it has ultimately come to be, you know, what it's ultimately come to is that we now have public schools where children are, you know, from different ethnic groups. We've had a burgeoning black middle class where they're closer to these schools, better schools. As far as the inner city goes, if you will, they still suck.
schools do.
Yeah, the schools still, you know, bite. All right, we're coming right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show with more from the year 1964. I'm kidding. Actually, we've got some sports news. Tiger Woods is in the thick of it in a golf tournament. Not in the thick of anything else, just a golf tournament. We'll talk about that and more on the world-famous Phil Hendry show.
Phil Hendry.
Let me get the gentleman on the phone, find out what his name is. Hey, sir, how are you?
Yes, hello, Phil. I heard you speak of Cyprus during the break, and I thought I could lend perhaps some background for you.
And what is your name, sir?
Carlos. Marcaros.
Mark?
No, their first name is Marcaros.
Okay, and are you from Cyprus?
No, I'm from Greece, but we left Cyprus, and we had moved to Cyprus, my father's business, long years ago, and resettled in the United States. But I've had the occasion to revisit Cyprus, and
I hear it's very beautiful there, right?
Oh, it's lovely, a part of the world, and I encourage people to visit it when they get a chance, but that was where my home was, and I'd been there for a number of years before my father relocated, you know. But we had moved there, you know, from Greece.
Were you there when this Turkish attack took place?
No, I was not there. We had left before, but we'd had relatives who had been there, and they would write us letters and tell us what this is going on and that is going on. And the very terrible, the deprivation, people in the hospital. My aunt was working at a hospital in Cyprus when the Turkish jets come over, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they had to lay the wounded on the tables and on the blankets on the floor. And there were young soldiers that were killed, and it was very bad.
I had no idea. And what was the argument about?
I don't know. The Cypriotic government was essentially supported by Greece. We had the Cyprus Orthodox Church, and there was the Greek Orthodox Church, you know, and the Turks were Muslim, and they had the Russian Orthodox Church, too. And they, all of them, they could not finish the job, couldn't get it done. To get the job done, the Orthodox Church, you know. Now, when I came to America, the first thing I did was I left the Orthodox Church, and I joined what I thought would be better, the Episcopalian, and I found out it's the same thing that I used to make the joke. They don't have beards, you know.
You were Orthodox? What kind of Orthodox Church?
Well, I was a Greek Orthodox Church, but they also had the Cyprus Orthodox Church.
Okay.
And then the Russian Orthodox Church. But I left the Cyprus. My father left Cyprus to form the family to come to America. I'd had it with the Cyprus, with the Orthodox Church, because there's so many of them, you know, and I became Episcopalian. And my first day at the Episcopalian Church, we went to the service, and I said to my mother, these guys look like they're Orthodox. She said, you're right. And we got up, we had to leave, you know. And she said, well, let's try the Catholic, the same thing. The Anglican, the same thing.
Well, all of those churches, Orthodox, Anglican, and they're all kind of from the same, they're all splintered off from the Catholic Church.
Well, yeah, but so is the Protestant. But I couldn't believe the bad luck we had. They left the Orthodox Church only to come to America and become Episcopalian.
Episcopalian.
Episcopalian, but Episcopalian was what we nicknamed it, you know, because it felt like we always the hind end, you know, every time we tried to it's on a religion, so we call it Episcopalian. But
you don't have, you don't know anything about the beef between Cyprus and Turkey.
Well, it was an ethnic problem, and the Turkish Cypriot and the Greek Cypriot were going back and forth, and we were Greek. But I never had any beef with them. I never had any problem with the Turkish people. But unfortunately, there was some serious beef and a lot of gang fights and a lot of bar fights. And no one got along with anyone. I went to a Turkish Cypriot wedding, and a big, big fist fight bust out. Saw the Turks. I think a soldier got beat up, and one of the politicians came over for a wedding, got beat up in a bar fight. And that's when the Turks came in.
Are you telling me the Turkish came in and bombed with jets after one of their politicians got beat up in a bar fight?
That's what I'm telling you. You know, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I can't believe that. I know that it was ethnic. God knows there are so many problems in this world having to do with people's background.
Well, that was it. You know, the you Turks and Greeks are very different. And then you mix in a different religion, you know.
Are they Muslim there, the Turkish Cypriot?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. They're different. There is difference night and day. You don't even believe it until you live. If you live in Cyprus and you look at the Turkish Cypriot, you can't make head nor tail out of them. The way they do things, the way they play, the sports they play, they've got a weird way of approaching football, you know. They play it barefoot. They wear, like to wear these Sulu, which is very similar to a Fijian Sulu. It's almost like a kilt that they wear, barefoot and a kilt, and that's how they play football.
Who?
The Turk. I told you, the Turkish Cypriot.
So there's a real cultural divide. Well, no wonder, you know.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Phil.
Thank you very much.
Who was that?
I don't know.
Who was it?
Well, it was my uncle.
Your uncle? Charlie?
Yeah. Well, I mean...
You mean what?
He said he had a Turkish voice.
That ain't no Turkish voice. I don't know what that was. Well, I don't know what... Anyway. Getting back to the news.
Sorry.
Yeah. The wind blew them backward one by one, birdies giving way to bogey. Was all that bullcrap then about that?
Well, I mean, you're talking about how I was Episcopalian. You should have figured that one out.
Yeah. Oh, I should have figured that one out. My show and the work I'm doing here should not be a process of trying to figure out whether you screened somebody right, bud. You let that guy go on the air knowing that it was a fake?
No, I figured it out halfway through.
You didn't know that was your uncle?
No.
The wind blew them backward one by one, birdies giving way to bogeys, pars giving way to double bogeys, and worse. If the second round of the 94th PGA Championship at Kiawah's Ocean Course were an Olympic event, it would be synchronized suffering. The judges had plenty to consider, not including the round of the day by the 49-year-old Vijay Singh, a 3-under par 69 in the morning to put him at 4-under and in a tie at the top with Tiger Woods, a 71. And first-round leader Carl Peterson, 74. Ian Poulter was a shot back after a 1-under 71. It was a tough, tough day, said Woods, who had the lead alone until three-putting 18 for a bogey. He took crazy start lines off the tees to accommodate drift in the wind, he said. But that strategy extended to the putting surfaces, too. So they had all kinds of wind out there at the PGA, and Tiger Woods is leading as they go into round three. It might be interesting, man, if the weather stays kind of weird.
How are they doing now?
Tiger, I don't know how Tiger's doing. I heard he's been up and down, you know. Who knows, man? There's no question that whole episode having to do with the wife and the thing and the... Oh, boy, that was bad, man. Bad for his public image, bad for everything else. The Chinese economy on Friday showed worrisome signs of slowing down, a development that not only threatens global economic growth, but also may complicate the relationship between China and the United States because they're going to devalue their currency, which makes their exports more affordable and makes America's imports more expensive. And that's the Chinese doing what they do, you know. Apparently, China reported that its exports, a critical driver of economy activity, grew by only 1% in July, far below the 11% rate. Ah, who cares?
Yeah, who cares about what the Chinese doing?
It's only has to do with, like, the economy. This is just news I'm giving you, man, as we go into the weekend. So you know what it is that we're leaving behind us. So we'll go in and enjoy ourselves this weekend. And I am going to go and get one of those tents, finally, and put it up on the beach.
Why?
Because I'm going to do that, man. I see all these people going out to the beach with these tents and these cool little... I mean, they're setting up a regular house out there. Why not?
What are people doing that for? You look like you're some kind of old lady or something.
Let me tell you why people are doing that, bud. People are going out on the beach and setting up those tents because they don't want to get the skin cancer. You see what I'm saying? People are not, you know, this isn't the way it used to be where everybody's laying out there waiting to get, you know, 18,000 shades of mahogany or nut brown or whatever you guys like to do.
No, what do you mean me? I'm already black.
Yeah, but I do.
Well, good for you. You going to get cancer?
I hope not.
You'll hope not. That ain't going to keep you from getting cancer. People are going out and enjoying the beach now, but they're not laying out there like a dumbass waiting to get sunburned like a freaking lobster. So what they're doing is they're going out there, they're setting up those covers, those big umbrellas, those tents, whatever the hell they're doing. And, you know, they got the babies with them and all that stuff, you know?
What?
The people that are out there, they got babies.
Oh, yeah, like the little, yeah.
Yeah, like a little, you know what a baby is, right?
Oh, I don't know what you were talking about.
I'm talking about babies. And they don't want to have to, you know, worry about the little baby getting sunburned and all that stuff. So they've got like a real cool setup where they have the little tent. And I don't know what the hell they got in there, man. They can keep it cool in there and the kid can lay in, whatever, you know. So you're coming in and out of the sun. So you go outside, you go in the water, you come back in, boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. That's what people are doing. This is the latest thing now, going to the beach, because this third degree sunburn stuff and laying out and getting what you think is a tan, man. Some of these people with these tans, I don't know if they know just how bad they look.
Yeah, man, you don't have a tan. You still look bad.
Well, that's just me. What do you mean I don't have a tan? I don't have a tan and I still look bad. He's right. All right. Well, I mean, I look okay for a guy without a tan. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, our news and information hour. And we're online at philhenryshow.com. We've got news about the Curiosity rover, which apparently took a photograph of the reconnaissance vehicle, the delivery vehicle. It took a photograph of that vehicle crash landing on Mars. It didn't know it was going to take a picture. It just so happened it synchronized at the moment that that thing crashed. Anyway, we'll explain it till we come back. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show. A few minutes left in this here week. Man, what a week, too.
Man, you bust your ass this week.
Yeah, I'll say.
Thank you, guys, for acknowledging that. I did bust my ass this week. But what else is new, man? All right. However, it is Saturday, and we're going to celebrate this Saturday morning just as soon as we get up. We're celebrating this Saturday morning. Right now, we're on the air. I love it, man, because I got this story here about this Mars rover. This is a beautiful thing, man. This whole Mars thing has just been a marvelous, it's been a nice break, you know?
Yeah, I think it's been fun talking about, you know.
You know, people were saying, you know, outer space, space travel, all jazz is like passe and...
Yeah, they're saying that no one cares no more about it.
Yeah, but they were saying it's kind of boring. I got to tell you, man, of all the news that we've been getting this summer about all kinds of stuff, this has been a nice break, man, from all this other jazz. Look at this. This is the United States of America putting another craft on another planet. I mean, this is a country did this. And it was great hearing from the flight directors there at JPL, all those young people, men and women, who sound so positive and so proud. And also, we're talking a lot about how they realize that it's their baby. You know, they represent the country. They got to take care of this for the nation, for the country, and make sure that it, you know, that everything goes off without a hitch. The Mars rover Curiosity took a photo of a crash landing. A review of landing data confirms that a photo taken by the Mars rover happened to capture Curiosity's spacecraft crash landing in the distance. An extraordinary coincidence. All right, now what does this mean? It doesn't mean that Curiosity crash landed. This was the delivery vehicle.
That the one that it was on?
Yeah, see, images taken by the Curiosity rover on Mars show a plume of dust which had disappeared when another photo was snapped 45 minutes later. Engineers say the plume indicates the crash landing of the spacecraft that delivered the rover to the Martian surface. NASA drivers await chance to operate biggest, baddest Mars rover. What is it? Okay. The final seconds of Curiosity's eight-month-plus journey to Mars called for a spacecraft to lower the rover to the surface using a sky crane, three ropes. The ropes were then cut, and the last of the spacecraft, known as the descent stage, cast itself toward the horizon. It crash-landed on purpose about 2,000 feet away, so it's about a half a mile away.
What does that mean?
It means that the descent craft, or that craft that was carrying rover, lowered it, okay, lowered it by way of three ropes. That sounds kind of whack. And then the ropes are cut so that the Curiosity lands, and then the spacecraft, known as the descent stage, because there had been another stage that had already separated, quote, cast itself towards the horizon. I guess it just fired some sort of rockets, or fired some sort of propulsion rockets, and sent itself spinning off in as far away a direction as it could, crash landing 2,000 feet away. A low-resolution photograph that Curiosity took seconds after landing on Sunday night arrived promptly at La Cañada Flint Ridge Jet Propulsion Laboratory, managing the $2.5 billion mission. The photograph captured a pyramid-shaped blotch on the horizon. The same photo, taken 45 minutes later with the same camera, showed the same view of the Martian landscape, but no blotch. Die-hard space fans took to the internet, raising the possibility that the blotch was an image of the spacecraft crashing, an extraordinary coincidence considering the potential variables and the fact that the shutter was open for only 200 milliseconds. We expected it to kick up quite a bit of dust, said Steve Sell, a member of Curiosity's entry, descent, and landing team. Still, the chances of photographing the crash landing were, quote, insane, end quote, one engineer said. On Friday, JPL reported that an examination of the massive data Curiosity had sent home regarding its elaborate landing sequence showed that the photo did capture the crash landing into the surface. I saw a picture of it, and it's you can look for it, guys. It literally all it is just a blurry little boop, you know.
No, is there fire and everything?
No, there's not going to be fire, man, because there's no oxygen, you know. Am I right about that?
Well, I mean, a little bit.
There's some kind of atmosphere, right?
Yeah, they're the atmosphere, but I don't know how much is oxygen or anything.
Well, anyway, no, there wasn't a fire, but it was just a crash. It was just a, you know, crash landing. The spacecraft that had deposited the rover on Mars took about 20 seconds to arc across the sky and crash at about 100 miles per hour. The photo was taken about 40 seconds after landing, but it appears that the tremendous impact sent up a cascade of Martian soil that was still hanging in the air when Curiosity snapped the photo. That could be due in part to the fact that Mars gravity is 38% as strong as that on Earth.
What's that mean?
It means if you throw a bunch of dust up into the air, it's going to take longer for it to settle down. Many had dismissed the plume as dirt on the camera lens. I remember when they said that, too. They said on Sunday night when we were watching it, they said, well, some of the photographs are difficult because we've got an awful lot of dust that's been kicked up by the actual landing of the Curiosity. And that's true. This plume of dust that was from the crash landing of that descent stage, they thought was part of what Rover had... did I say Rover?
Yeah, or Fido?
Don't get smart, okay?
Well, what's it called?
Called Curiosity.
You called it Rover.
Yeah, hey. Yeah, Rover.
All right. The Curiosity rover is what I meant. Anyway, that possibility, both images picked up the same blotch. That eliminated the possibility the lens was simply dirty and confirmed Sell said the artifact was real. We believe we've caught what is the descent stage impacting on the Martian soil. We're fairly certain it's the impact plume. Also on Friday, engineers offered their most detailed assessment of Curiosity's landing. The craft, they said, landed roughly 1.5 miles away from its predicted touchdown zone. That's pretty damn good. Not bad, given that the site was more than 150 million miles away, and the projected landing zone was an ellipse 12 miles wide. Sell said, we flew it right down the middle. How much time we got, man? Not much. Next up for Rover is a four-day brain transplant. Engineers will be updating Curiosity software, currently primed for its flight stage, to prepare it for its Martian surface operations. The update will add two crucial functions, the ability to use the geochemistry lab sampling system and to drive. You know, with the success of these Rover craft, okay, and these robot ships, do we need to send manned missions?
Yeah, you do.
Well, I know we do eventually. You know, eventually you want to send men, but all this stuff that's being done now is so thorough. I don't know, what could a human mission accomplish?
Yeah, they want to set up like a Mars colony and have people live there and how, you know, if they're going to build a house and everything.
Yeah, and what about they have, you know, like a lady and everything?
Yeah, they want to have make babies.
Yeah, the Mars colony thing, man, is way off, okay. Speaking of being way off, that's where we're going. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. And for a, live streaming video, as well as all of our archives of the world-famous Phil Henry Show, do join us, won't you, at philhenryshow.com. For Dan Northcraft, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard, until Monday, let that be a lesson to you. Good night.
Phil Henry.